warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening. Your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today, folks. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I certainly did. I had a very busy time, but I enjoyed every moment of it. This is The Awakening. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on American Family Radio. And you can listen to our programming on AFR.net any hour of the day or night, any day of the week, anywhere in the world. Yeah, I ought to package that. Any hour of the day or night, any day of the week, anywhere in the world. That's pretty good, actually. That's actually pretty good. That was spontaneous. I didn't have that written down anywhere. Any hour of the day or night, any day of the week, anywhere in the world. But it's absolutely true. AFR.net is accessible to you now on a smartphone, on a laptop, on a desktop, on a tablet, on a game device. Anything that allows you to access the internet allows you to listen to our programming. And I hope you'll tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a family member that they ought to check it out. Because, folks, given the condition of the media today, AFR is increasingly the place to turn for biblical and Judeo-Christian worldview takes on the news and on the issues of the day, because you're not going to get that practically anywhere else. Look, I'm your host, and if you want to find out more about me or you want to connect with me, you can do so at standamerica.us. That's my nonprofit organization. And by the way, we are holding our first annual gala celebrating 10 years of service. We've been in existence 10 years. This is the first time we've done this. On November the 11th, please mark your calendars. And you should be able to go to our website and learn more about that. In fact, I know you can. You can go there and you can click on the gala and find out more about it. It will take you to the gala page. It's November the 11th, 6 p.m. for reception, 7 p.m. for dinner at the Alexandria, at the Hilton Old Alexandria Hotel in Alexandria, Virginia. So you can go to our website and find out more about that. You can follow me on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. Be quiet, phone. You can follow me on Facebook, on Twitter. No, I said on Twitter. Well, actually, you can follow me on Twitter, but not my personal Facebook, my personal Twitter page, I should say. Just forgive me, folks. I'm trying to shut down the extraneous noise. My Twitter page has been banned. Banned, folks. Yeah, banned. But you know what? I'm proud of that. I really am, because I must be doing something right to get Twitter to ban me. Now, that happens. It hasn't happened on Facebook so far. Hasn't happened on YouTube so far, thank God. But, you know, you never can tell. We're trusting God to ultimately bring these folks to heal, to help get them saved, get them thinking about life in different terms than these far-left Marxist, socialist, communist terms in which they think, that allows them to willy-nilly believe that certain people don't have a right to speak or to be heard because their opinions and their views are simply not worthy of public dissemination. And folks, I'll tell you what, the Bolsheviks, the fascists, the communists, Adolf Hitler, Stalin, Lenin, Fidel Castro, Ho Chi Minh, Pol Pot, would be proud of America's leftist today. They would be proud. Oh, they would say, these are people after our own hearts. They believe in shutting down the First Amendment if they don't like what you've got to say. And that's exactly what every totalitarian leader has done throughout human history. We conservatives, we really believe that even people with bad ideas have a right to be heard, so that we can debunk those ideas and we can permeate the culture with good ideas, better ideas, We can make better arguments. We can persuade the American people of how stupid their views are and get them to voluntarily agree. You know what? I like those views better than those views. We don't need the heavy hand of government telling people, no, 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 you don't have a right to be heard. And we don't need the heavy hand of big tech telling people, you don't have the right to be heard because your opinions are not good. Oh, you don't believe in climate change? Well, we need to shut you up. You know, they've said so. They've said anybody who doesn't believe in climate change should not be heard. They should not be allowed to speak. Folks, that's totalitarianism. Twitter thinks that they've shut me down. They haven't shut me down because there is AFR, and I get a chance to express my viewpoint with or without Twitter. And to tell you the truth, reach more people than I ever reached on Twitter, because we reach a couple million people in the course of a week. And folks, we have more people listening to us on their smartphones and their smart devices than I ever reached on Twitter, because, you know, I think that certain people, that they just don't want to be able to reach a lot of people. Oh, my goodness. Pro-life organizations are facing this, and every kind of conservative organization is facing this kind of censorship. You know, I've said this before, folks. We thank God we do not have a totalitarian government, because we have a constitution that still protects us to the extent that the left is not in power and will not ignore the Constitution, and therefore in no position to ignore the Constitution and trample on our rights anyway, which is exactly what they'd like to do. They'd like to ignore the Constitution and trample on your First Amendment rights, ignore the Constitution, trample on your Second Amendment rights, ignore the Constitution altogether if necessary, and treat you like you're not even a citizen, and then treat people who aren't citizens like they are. If they had their druthers, if they had the power, that's what they do. That's why this upcoming election in 2020 is so critically important, folks, because this is not business as usual or politics as usual. These people really want a totalitarian system in this country in which the people they consider to be unworthy no longer have the freedom and the ability to be heard, and the people they consider worthy will have all of their opinions amplified. And that's why I call CNN the Communist News Network, because that's exactly what they are, folks. That's exactly what they are. I mean, Joe Biden's son has made $1.5 billion dealing with communist China, and CNN doesn't think that's worthy of any consideration, of any further investigation. Oh, that's been resolved. That's solved. That's no big deal. But the president has a conversation with, I think, the prime minister of Ukraine, and suddenly, oh, that's an impeachable offense, and that's what we need to talk about. And it's just more leftist, Marxist, socialist delusion, and trying to delude the American people and propagandize the American people into believing that what they see, which is here's a family catapulted into the billionaire status because of foreign country transactions that one of the sons of the vice president has with what can only be described as an adversary, and perhaps even more accurately described as an enemy. But that's not worthy of, oh, don't look at that. Look at the phone call that a president had, because that's the crisis. I mean, folks, this stuff would be silly and even funny if it weren't so dangerous. And I said all that to say, thank God for AFR, because this is where you're going to get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The U.S. Senate has now confirmed more than 150 judicial nominees. Senator Lindsey Graham declared this was a historic milestone. These judges will be interpreting the Constitution according to its original intent for years to come. Here's the breakdown. Judges confirmed to the lower federal courts exceed 105, and there are 43 circuit court nominees that have been confirmed. Add to that two Supreme Court justices, and you have a total of more than 150 confirmed judicial nominees. That number far exceeds what previous presidents have been able to do at this time in their first term. Court flips are starting to take place. That is where the majority of liberal judges on a court have been replaced by a majority of conservative judges. The Third Circuit Court has already flipped. The 11th Circuit Court and the Second Circuit Court will probably flip soon. One of the most dramatic changes is taking place in the Ninth Circuit Court that covers the western states. It has traditionally been a consistently liberal court, but recently handed the president a victory on his proposed asylum policy. Here is an interesting set of statistics from a Washington Times article about judges. Most judges appointed by Democratic presidents ruled against the Trump administration's various immigration policies. By contrast, half of the Republican-appointed judges backed the administration, and half did not. The report also found that most of the Democratic-appointed judges backed the Affordable Care Act, while most of the Republican-nominated judges found fault with the 2010 law. I believe that a major campaign issue for 2020 will be who will appoint federal judges. Both sides of the political aisle can see what this president has done in the last few years. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For more information about issues covered on Viewpoints, visit pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope?
I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
I approach this year's birthday with just a touch of unrest.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
I sensed a gap between expectations and the reality of experience. One Saturday morning, I listed the things I've been asking God for the past 15 years. And in a column beside each expectation, I wrote to what degree I had seen Jesus fulfill answers. Then, on my actual birthday, I talked to the Lord about these expectations, promises, and heart yearnings. As a result, the Lord gave me a sense of peace about my relationship with Him, my family, and relational expectations. Every physical birthday brings you and me closer to a final hope.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
Brian Fisher here. The media wants to make Ukraine a Trump scandal, but it's a Biden scandal from first to last, a scandal big enough to torpedo his campaign. The legal news continues to tighten around James Comey and Andrew McCabe, and decades of Democrat leadership has turned Los Angeles into something that resembles the dawn of the dead. Next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number here is 888-589-8840. I'll be taking your calls in a few minutes, but make a note of that number because I'm sure you will want to call me. Folks, I didn't get a chance to get into it because, of course, as often happens, I went off on one of my many discourses about where we are as a culture. But on Saturday and Sunday, I have to tell you all, I was in Mount Airy, North Carolina, at the Salt and Light Conference that was held at Mount Airy Wesleyan Church. It was not the church was the location. I also had an opportunity, by the way, to speak at the church on Sunday, and I want to thank Pastor Eric Smith and his congregation for the warmth and hospitality with which they received me. You may hear a little bit in my voice because I did some preaching yesterday and Saturday evening. So I spoke on Saturday evening, then spoke again on Sunday morning. But we had a wonderful time. And what are they doing, folks? They're reminding the body of Christ that our job is to be salt and light in a lost and dying world. Salt preserves. And in fact, when we were in Fredericksburg, the AFA representatives joined by, it was me and of course, presided over by Walker and Wesley Wildman, and Abraham Hamilton III was there, and they just presented some great, great information. And Abraham Hamilton III emphasized that point, that salt preserves, and that the body of Christ is supposed to be the preservative in a culture. And to the extent that the body of Christ is told, sit down, shut up, back off, get out, you don't have anything to say, which is exactly what the left is trying to say to Bible-believing Christians, it is destroying the preservative which maintains the culture, maintains its health and its vitality, assures its future. And so the Salt and Light Conference was emphasizing that. We bring the salt, we bring the light into a lost and dying world. And if the body of Christ, Jesus said, if the salt loses its savor, then it's worthless. It's good for nothing but to be trodden under foot of men. And he said, you don't take a light and hide it under a basket. You lift it up so that it lights everything around it. And so this was a wonderful conference. Dinesh D'Souza spoke. A good friend of mine, Ken Graves, spoke. Oh, my goodness. They had to. Curtis Bowers was there. He spoke. He's done a film and written several books. His family sings and travels. And I could go on and on and on and on. If you were not there, they're going to do it again next year, September the 19th, and mark it on your calendar. If you live anywhere near Mount Airy, North Carolina, you won't want to miss this. Speaking of North Carolina, by the way, and this leads me into the discussion I want to have with you. There's an American Renewal Project that's going to take place on the first Thursday in October. I'll get all that exact information in front of me on my schedule. Sponsored by the American Renewal Project, which is led by David and Cindy Lane, some great, great Christians. And I'm going to be speaking at that as well. And so if you're anywhere in the Charlotte area, come and join us. I'd love to see you there. And if you're an AFR listener and you show up, please make sure you let me know. Hey, listen, I'd listen to AFR. I've heard you on AFR. Because I want to say hello to our listeners. I enjoy the process. In fact, I just talked to one of our listeners today who I met at the last meeting. I was calling him about something else, and he said, "Oh, you know, don't forget. You know, we met at the AFR meeting in Fredericksburg." I said, "Oh, yes, of course. It's great to put names to faces and that kind of thing." But at any rate, David Lane put out a piece that he sends out by email. And it talked essentially about the degeneration of our culture. And I want to read you an excerpt from it and then apply it to something that is in the news, because I really believe that this is, I mean, it hits the nail, his piece hits the nail right on the head. Here we go. Listen to this, folks. It says, Hungarian Marxist philosopher George Lukacs posited something he called cultural terrorism. Marxist philosopher George Lukacs posited something he called cultural terrorism. And it was implemented in Hungary. He was a Hungarian Marxist philosopher. And here is what, according to Raymond V. Rain, who wrote a book on this stuff, says, as part of this terrorism, Lukacs instituted radical sex education in the Hungarian schools. Hungarian children were instructed in free love, sexual intercourse, the archaic nature of middle-class family codes, you know, like marriage and all that nonsense, the outdatedness of monogamy, the irrelevance of religion, say, which does nothing but deprive man of his natural pleasures. And this was to be a campaign of cultural terrorism, and it grows out of Marxist thinking. And folks, David Lane argues, and I think rightly so, that cultural terrorism is a precursor to political correctness. It is a precursor to political correctness. Now, here's the issue I want to bring up with you. Last week, Ben Carson was excoriated, vilified, just turned into, made to sound like an utter monster because, as Secretary of HUD, he says that, look, women's shelters will not welcome biological men who claim to be women, or as the left would put it, transgender men. Women's shelters will not welcome, under his policies, or allow into their facilities biological men who claim to be women. Now, folks, the left is going crazy. He made that announcement, those comments out in San Francisco, and they have been going bonkers ever since. Folks, that's the cultural terrorism. Look, women's shelters are by and large set up to be places of refuge for women who have, generally speaking, there may be some exceptions, of course, but generally speaking, are victims of domestic violence by men. Men who don't have their heads on straight and think that beating a woman is something that they have a right to do or ought to do or justified in doing. And Ben Carson says, we're not going to expose women who have escaped from male abusers to men coming into the shelter that they're trying to escape a bad situation with a man. We're going to bring a man into the shelter who is so confused that he thinks he's a woman. And now the women who are there for some peace, some solace, some security, some safety, now they've got to be exposed to this nonsense. And Ben Carson said, no, no, we're not doing that. Oh, what a transphobe he is. Oh, this is terrible. The heads on the San Francisco HUD employees exploded and they got together and they said, this is terrible. We've got to put a stop to this. Folks, this is cultural terrorism. When a common sense policy like that, and it's just common sense, I mean, come on. And suddenly you are attacked and vilified like you're the equivalent, well, yeah, because they say it all the time, of a Nazi, a Ku Klux Klansman. You are really a terrible person. Folks, this stuff, I've said it before, this is moral psychosis. When people believe things that are demonstrably false, but are absolutely convinced that they are true. They believe things that are demonstrably wrong, but are absolutely convinced that they are right. And are willing to hurt other people who refuse to bow to their delusional reality. Because that's what it is, folks. It's delusion. I applaud Ben Carson for having the courage to see things as they really are. Folks, this whole thing that gender is simply a social construct is one of the biggest lies the left has ever told. And you've got to be psychologically challenged. You have some kind of psychological handicap to buy into that. When everybody knows who's lived on this earth for any length of time. In fact, folks, I think most children know it. That there are fundamental differences between men and women that have nothing to do with a social construct. They are wired into our DNA, into our physiology, into our emotional and psychological makeup, hardwired in. And you're going to basically force women who are escaping from a domestic abuse situation to deal with men?
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Let me tell you a story. It's the story of Old Joe. Old Joe was one of those fellows who didn't like to be pushed around. He was just tired of paying taxes, didn't like the way the government was being run, and in general had it with anything that smacked of authority. In fact, old Joe didn't even like to pull over for emergency vehicles. He felt that they just used their sirens to get through traffic about 99% of the time. Well, one afternoon, old Joe was driving through some heavy traffic when an ambulance pulled up behind him. Its siren was blowing loud and clear. Old Joe looked in his mirror and saw the ambulance coming up his lane. Since there was heavy traffic, old Joe knew that the ambulance couldn't get through unless he pulled over. Very shortly, the ambulance was on old Joe's bumper. Inside himself, he was wondering if he should pull over to let the vehicle pass. Then a brilliant idea flashed in old Joe's mind. Now was the time to get even with those people who drive ambulances. Old Joe made the decision that he would stay in his lane and keep that ambulance from passing. He laughed inside himself because the opportunity had presented itself. The ambulance kept its siren going at full blast. But old Joe, determined to get even, just kept driving his leisurely, slow pace. In fact, he even slowed down a little. The ambulance driver began to blow his horn and motion for old Joe to move over. But old Joe did exactly what he wanted to do. He didn't move over, and he didn't pay any attention to the ambulance driver. He simply acted as if he didn't hear the siren. Well, for quite a distance, old Joe kept that ambulance from passing. He managed to get his car in position several times at key locations to make sure that the ambulance couldn't pass. Following several minutes of keeping the ambulance behind him, old Joe soon approached the street which led to his house. He was tempted not to turn, just to keep the emergency vehicle behind him for a longer time. But when he got to the street that led to his house, he decided that he had had enough fun and turned. While making his turn, he was thinking that he had showed them. He'd gotten even, and he wasn't going to be pushed around anymore. But when he turned, the ambulance turned also. This pleased old Joe tremendously because he could still keep it from passing for a few more houses. Well, when he got to his house, old Joe gave his signal and turned into his driveway. But, much to his surprise, the ambulance turned into his driveway also. He'd seen the anger on the ambulance driver's face, and old Joe figured that the driver had followed him to fight. So old Joe jumped out of his car, ran to the ambulance, jerked open the driver's door, and started fighting. By the time the other attendant and some of the neighbors could get things under control, old Joe's wife was at the door shouting, "Where have you been with that ambulance? You should have been here 10 minutes ago. Little Joe is barely breathing." Well, they finally got little Joe to the hospital. The doctor said if they had been there 10 minutes earlier, he might have lived. Old Joe, he got even all right, but in getting even, he lost. Life usually works that way. Now, is this a true story? The incident could be. The moral it teaches is.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back. Folks, the number here is 888-589-8840. Yeah. Secretary Ben Carson, a man who I've known about for long before he became as famous as he is now. I've always admired him because of his Christian character, because of the tremendous accomplishments of the man. I mean, the man went from abject poverty to being one of the most renowned surgeons in the world. He happens to be black. It really shouldn't matter. But in a world where the left tries to convince us that everything has to do with race, we should point out that in spite of this man having started in abject poverty, having a mother who could not read or write, he rose to become one of the most renowned surgeons in the world. He's now the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. He ran for president, of course, didn't win, but President Trump appointed him a Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. And once again, he is being vilified because he dares bring some common sense to the process of providing help to women in need. And what he said is, a women's shelter is going to be a women's shelter. It is not going to be a transgender women's shelter, which is transgender woman is the left's way of saying it is a man who says he's a woman. And by the way, not that this should matter, but folks, not a man who's had an operation, not a man who's had hormone treatments, not a man who you know, has kind of done whatever crazy stuff they have to do to try to present as a woman, but a man who simply says he is a woman. That's all that is required. That's all that is required, and you are therefore, by definition, transgender. I mean, I really wouldn't care if, like Bruce Jenner, you wore a sequin dress and makeup and bright red lipstick and rouge and whatever else the ladies put on. You know, I'm not an expert on that, but whatever else they put on. I wouldn't care if you put all that on, and I don't care if you had 10 operations, you're still a man. You are still a man. I mean, we're dealing with the problem now of men who are joining women's teams and dominating those women's teams, and you've got idiots running around saying, well, it's not fair for you to criticize them because, after all, they're transgender. They're men. They're men, period. And all this other stuff is just a lot of, folks, it is, as David Lane pointed out in his article, cultural terrorism. By the way, the author of this book called Political Correctness, A Deceptive and Dangerous Worldview, his name is William Lind. Here's what he wrote, and David Lane quoted him in his article. He said this, quote, those who would defeat cultural Marxism must defy it. Those who would defeat cultural Marxism must defy it. They must use words it forbids and refuse to use words it mandates. Wow, I love that. That's why you don't hear me using quote unquote gay on this program. Because it's really, there's nothing. The word gay used to mean happy, carefree. They've adopted and appropriated the word and turned it into a word that means now sexual perversion. Because I'm not sure what all gay does and does not mean. And so I use homosexual because it's clear what that means. It is a technically accurate term. It means a person who has their sexual desire focused on a person of the same gender. Homo, same, sexual. And all this other stuff. I mean, you know, and they've got, you know, homophobic and transphobic. Give me a break. I mean, these are words that are simply meant to intimidate people into being silent. Because I'm sure those of you listening to me feel the same way. I'm not afraid of homosexuals. Not in the least. They're human beings, just like any other human being. What's to be afraid of? I don't hate them. But as the Bible says, I hate every false way. I hate those things that are against the word of God and against the truth of God. I hate those things. I hate those concepts. I mean, so folks, and I know I'll get into trouble for saying this with the left, because they'll say, oh, he's equating homosexuality with murder. I'm not. I'm simply making a point, and I'm using an analogy, because from a Christian perspective, homosexuality is sin. That's the truth of the matter. That's not just a matter of Christian perspective. That's the truth of the matter. Says who? Says God. That's the truth of the matter. I don't hate the murderer, but I hate murder. I don't hate the liar, but I hate lying. Okay? So I don't hate people who are living together without benefit of marriage. But I hate that practice because I know it's destructive. It's destructive of the children that are often victimized in those situations. You know, most of the children that are abused in homes in which the mother is residing with a man who is not her husband. You realize the marriage, the divorce rate is 50%, but for those who have lived together before getting married, the divorce rate is 80%. I hate every false way. I don't hate the people. And we as Christians don't hate the people. We hate the false ideas that hold people captive and hold them in bondage. But no. We're supposed to believe that Ben Carson is a bad guy because he won't let men enter the women's shelter. The number here is 888-589-8840. Do you think he's a bad guy? Do you think Ben Carson ought to be vilified? You think he ought to be treated like a monster, like a Nazi, like a Ku Klux Klansman, like some evil, like a member of some racist black group like the Black Panthers? I know they're heroes in many people's eyes, but they weren't heroes at all. They were thugs. They were thugs. And I know the left has imbued them with a certain romanticism, but they were killers and they were thugs. And they offered no answer whatsoever to the racial problems of our country. But the left would put Ben Carson in those categories. He's a bad guy. No, he's a good guy who is providing some sanity in a world in which many seem to have gone completely insane. And folks, this is probably not the worst of it. I mean, the shelter is a bad situation to be trying to bring all this political correctness nonsense, but they're trying to do it in public schools, trying to do it with young people, trying to force all of this weird mess on young people even. I mean, it's child abuse. And in my view, doing this in a women's shelter, it would be to further abuse those women. God help us. You know, folks, at some point, that's really all you can say is God help us. Because, you know, you can't reason with these folks. You really can't, because their reasoning capability is gone. It really is. Because everything is emotive. Everything is emotion. Everything is feelings. So you can't reason with them. The only thing you can pray is that God will do such a work in their hearts that they would awaken to the truth and submit to it. I'm going to get to your calls as soon as we come back.
Grieving that and grieving the role reversal and all the things that came with that, while at the same time realizing, okay, there's a responsibility here.
Caring for an aging loved one is hard, but there are beautiful rewards. Lisa Anderson on Focus on the Family Minute.
But looking back on it and just realizing no one can ever take that space from me and those memories from me and the feeling that I was part of that. And, you know, I just say, and I always get choked up when I say this, I had the privilege of walking mom home. And not everyone can say that, you know, that they had the privilege of walking a parent into heaven and to, you know, that I'm going to see her again someday. And that's totally cool. And I'll see dad. And just to be able to introduce mom in her right mind to the friends who stepped in with me and were able to help me on that journey. And it's just going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to it.
You'll hear more from Lisa at familyminute.org.
Hey, Target. You thought we were done?
Did you think we would give up?
Well, of course not. We still stand strong with our belief that men do not belong in the women's restrooms or changing areas. It's absurd. We should not have to walk in your restrooms with the fear of someone of the opposite sex walking in on us.
Together, we will stop this open door policy.
Help us by signing the pledge to boycott Target at afa.net.
Hi, Frank Turek, co-author of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Please join me, Stephen Meyer, Gary Habermas, Hugh Ross, Chip Ingram, and many more at the 2019 SES National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 11th and 12th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Whether you're new to apologetics or a seasoned veteran, you will walk away better equipped to engage the culture. Online sales end October 8th. For tickets and details, visit conference.ses.edu. That's conference.ses.edu.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. I'm coming right to the calls in a moment. William Lynn, his book, Political Correctness, A Deceptive and Dangerous Worldview, says the following. Those who would defeat cultural Marxism must defy it. Thank you, William Lynn. Thank you, Dr. Carson, for defying it, because that's exactly what we need more people to do. Okay, let's go to the lines. We've got Preston from Mississippi. Preston, welcome.
Oh, good afternoon, Bishop Jackson. Yeah, I'm in, hanging in here trying to give you a break. I'm like you. I don't understand all this stuff. I'm a pretty elderly fellow, but I've been around here for quite a while watching all this business. And I appreciate President Trump breaking this bit about Biden on the news there. Well, let me let you.
Okay, we're getting feedback from your radio in the background. If you could close that down, that would help.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So go ahead, Preston. Yes, what's on your mind?
You're doing a great job, sir. Thank you. I try to listen every day. I said, thank you. I appreciate all this that you all were talking about. Trump trying to get a call through on Biden. Hey, I mean, yeah, the news wants to jump in on it and, he shouldn't do that kind of thing. And about the homosexual, but I'm scared to get into that too much.
Well, listen. You heard what William Lynn just said. Those who would defeat this stuff must defy it. And I tell you, we just have to jump right into it because, you know, one of the biggest responses I got when I said normal people find homosexuality. Now, they perverted it and said, I said homosexuals. I said find homosexuality, the behavior, disgusting. And they went crazy. We just have to call it as it really is, because normal people do find it disgusting, because we know in our hearts it's not normal. But listen, thank you so much for the call, Preston. Let's go to Wesley in Georgia. Welcome, Wesley.
Hey, Bishop Jackson, quickly, I just wanted to say that I want to thank Ben Carson for standing up. You know, it's easy to cower down because of the backlash that the left and the mainstream media will give for standing against, you know, allowing the transgender men into these. And it's not just, and I know it's just Christian values, but But not only Christian values. I mean, it, like you said, just common sense. I mean, good grief. You know, these women are trying to escape abuse, and for us to just let somebody that just wants to be a woman in there, it's just crazy. It really is crazy. And I want to thank you, Bishop. I enjoy your sermons on Facebook. Stumbled upon you when you were filling in a few weeks ago. Enjoy your sermons, and I really do. I get fed a lot. I have churches here that I can, you know, but you know, I haven't given any money to you yet, but I felt led to. So anyway, I'm getting fed by you, and I hope I'm in Virginia sometime to hear one of your sermons live. And wish your show was longer instead of just 1 to 2. But I'll let you go. Thanks.
Thank you, Wesley. Thank you. I appreciate your support and appreciate your prayers, and hope I get a chance to meet you sometime. Okay, let's go to, is that Tara Lisa? Tara Lisa, welcome from Arkansas.
Hi.
Yes,
I thank God for Ben Carson and other Christians. We're going to have to start standing up and stop being so cowardly through the strength of Christ. But I also want to thank you for using homosexual and lesbian. And that's what I'm trying to get all of my friends and family and just people around me to understand. Gay means happy, and we need to stay homosexual and not gay.
Amen. So
thank you very much.
Thank you. And you know, the interesting thing, folks, is if you look at, for example, Webster's, I think it's Webster's 1828 dictionary, but you don't even have to go back that far. Just look at an old film from the 1950s or 1960s. You will see people using gay, and it throws you off because you think, well, wait a minute. Well, they're talking about people being happy. They're talking about people being joyful. They're talking about gaiety, not homosexuality. And yes, the second thing that William Lynn said is, those who would defeat cultural Marxism must use words it forbids and refuse to use words it mandates. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to mandate the words that we use. And folks, we just have to say, no, we're going to call it and tell it like it T-I-T-I-S. Okay, let's go to Daniel in Kansas. Daniel, welcome.
Yes, Mr. Jackson, thank you. I just wanted to suggest, I think, a better way of referring to the what you say is homosexuals, you know. I think it's better. I think even that's a concession to them, because homo in my Latin dictionary means man as opposed to beast, or man as opposed to woman. It comes from the Greek, and you're right, homogenous, homogenous means the same, you know, the same. But
right.
But I think it's better to refer to them more obliquely as those who sin against nature. Because I know that will upset people, but I think that's the best way. St. Paul says these things should not even be named among us. And he's speaking of that that sin, or we could also call it sodomy, but we shouldn't even let our children hear these words, you know, because once the word is out, you know, it kind of wounds, you know, if we do speak of them. We should not let our children hear these words until maybe, you know, they're older. And it's a regular word used in the family, you know, in the family sanctuary. And gay means lighthearted. It's a real lighthearted happiness, you know.
Nothing lighthearted or happy about homosexuality, that's for sure.
Very angry, too. I've met some of them over the years. You know, I'm 63, you know, so they're not happy. They're very angry and very sad. Anyway, I think it's better, our priest always refers to it when he gives a sermon as just those who sin against nature. And that way, everyone knows what he's talking about. And then the
right.
Children are not offended, are not sort of like, they can be wounded by the word. Even the word abortion, I don't think we should use that in front of our children, you know.
Well, Daniel, I appreciate that. Take on the vocabulary, you may have a point there, but you know, the Bible does use homosexuality in one case, and it just seems to me that technically, just like heterosexuality, meaning attracted to someone of a different gender, is the homosexuality opposite of that. So it just seems to me that's appropriate. That's the word, by the way. They don't want you using that word. They want you using gay. So as Lynn says, use words it forbids and refuse to use words it mandates. So let's go to John in Texas. Welcome, John.
Yes.
John, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Go right ahead.
All right. So first of all, I think Dr. Carson is a brilliant, gifted man, and I've got a background in medicine. I was scrubbed in several disciplines many years ago. I've trained nurses in neonatal ICU. And we notice, Bishop, that the people that are in favor of abortion have already been born.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that point made before, and it usually stops liberals cold.
Right. So check this out. And I can't take credit for this acronym for CHILD. The Holy Spirit gave it to me in prayer. But I want you to share this with your audience in your pulpit and everything else and with all the mothers. The acronym for CHILD is Christ Humbling Indwelling Lasting Delight.
Wow. That's nice. Christ Humbly Indwelling Lasting Delight. All right.
Right.
All right. And so Thank you very much, John.
The power of prayer. So I heard a testimony of the Lord. So this patient found himself outside of his body during surgery, had an encounter with a father, and he said, "Help me understand the power of prayer, Father." So the Lord showed him the mushroom cloud of an atomic bomb, and he says, "It's not the cloud. The power of prayer is equal to the shock wave after the blast. Never stop praying. Keep praying. Your prayers will be answered. His promises will be fulfilled."
Amen.
And so what we're fighting is...
Thank you, John. John, let me try to... I'm down to almost a minute. Let me try to get a couple more people in, but thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Ruth in Mississippi. Welcome, Ruth.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad you let me on. Hi there. I love you, Brother Jackson. We miss, you know, Sister Janet, and we love her too, but we're so glad to have you. I know I haven't got a lot of time. I just want to share something real quick. First, to the gentleman before, any sin, it's not against nature. It's against God's word. And it doesn't have, just like these Democrats, I don't know what he is, what faith, I don't know. I'm not judging him. I'm just saying that sin is, yes, we're to abide by God's word. It's like these Democrats are coming out with climate sins. I don't even know what they mean by that. I don't even want to know. Everybody vote for Donald Trump, please.
God. All right. We got it, Ruth. Thank you very much. Let's see. Miller, you're going to have to really, really be quick, but I'm going to take you anyway. Miller, welcome.
Yeah, well, we need to use a biblical term for the queer as homosexuals is sodomites. And the other two, the thing is that they've not only usurped the word gay, they've usurped the rainbow from Noah, God's gift to Noah. So we as believers need to stand.
Amen. Thank you so much, Miller. We very much appreciate the call. And folks, listen, I love this. We must defy it, defy this political correctness, defy this cultural Marxism. Use words it forbids and refuse to use words it mandates. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.